Okay, I will call the meeting to order at 3:01. Roll call, please.
Just a reminder, we don't usually do roll call. We do have a quorum.
Thank you.
And unfortunately, Yvette is not, or Vice President Perezco is not able to join us today.
Very good. Then it's a party of two. Okay, so approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as is?
I move that we approve the agenda as is.
And I will second that motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
The passes. Next, we have the meeting minutes of February 10th. Is there a motion to approve the minutes as submitted?
So moved.
I will second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So passes unanimously. And next, we have old business existing policy revisions, and I will turn it over to Chris to take us through.
Thank you. As we were just briefly discussing, there's a revised version of BOD2 that I just emailed to the group. If you're able to pull that up, I'll just walk through the revisions that I added. I think you all had the opportunity to review the essential change from last month is the language in the first paragraph of section one. And so I guess we can just look at that if there's any questions or concerns that the committee has, and then I'll continue through the added revisions that I made to.
Chris, in section one, are there any changes from what you sent out in the
pack? The first paragraph, there's no changes, and that's the meat of the changes that came from the prior meeting. The revisions that I made, and at the end of the very first page, the last sentence ends with the office of treasurer. I added the word of.
Okay.
Then if we move on to section two, board president, I added the first sentence, the board shall elect one of its members as president in accordance with section one above. And that's kind of the language that I've added in each of the following sections. So if we go to section three, the board vice president, that first sentence is changed to read in accordance with section one above. So in all of these are referring to that language that's in section one. Same with board secretary, the first sentence is revised. And then board treasurer, section five, the numbering was off there. It had still had section four. So that's all been changed to section five. And then again, in accordance with section one above.
I go back to please to section three.
Sure.
It now says the vice president shall give or cause to give appropriate notices in accordance with the policies and bylaws or as required by law and shall act as custodian of the district records and reports. Isn't that the secretary?
We thought about that. I mean, it could go either place. We just thought when we remove that, essentially there's nothing under the board vice president.
Well, except again, we've got the vice president. I mean, again, this is my thinking. We've got the vice president basically as a shadower of the president to learn the ropes and also to act in the absence of the president. So I would think the duties of the vice president are the same as the duties of the president when the president can't do them.
Okay, well, we can make reference to that in section three, that vice president.
Well, it's already said.
Well, it's already in 3.1.
Yeah, I think I would, if you have to have the stuff that's in 3.2, if that has to be somewhere, I think it should be under the secretary, my understanding, but do we really need it at all? If you think it needs to be somewhere, then it seems like it should be under the secretary.
I think it's more fitting as secretary. I don't disagree with that. So we can move it to secretary.
Letty, are you okay with that?
I'm totally okay with that. I agree.
Okay. All right, so we will move 3.2 down under board secretary. And then board treasurer, item 5.3, that is changed from the secretary to the treasurer. And then the red words throughout then, staff member and not a member of the board of directors. So treasurer may delegate board treasurer duties to a district staff member and not a member of the board of directors.
Mm-hmm. Should that be under president too? I guess not. Okay, I was just trying to think.
It's kind of specific to the treasurer.
Okay, and the secretary. Okay.
Is there a motion to approve with the changes that we've just gone through right now?
So moved.
Second, any comments, discussion? There being none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next, we have member board policy 15, conflict of interest.
Okay, so.
I'm sorry.
District bylaws. So there essentially isn't any changes to what was presented from last month in the district bylaws. It's just we brought both the bylaws and BOD2 back to the committee because we did make changes to the policy we just reviewed. But throughout the bylaws, it references BOD2. And the reason we did that was so that if there is any future changes to policy BOD2, the bylaws does not have to be revised. So essentially in the bylaws, we're just separating the vice president and secretary.
I understand, but why doesn't it show that there's a change in any of the document? Like on page 24, you've added the secretary and you've got the treasurer. Why isn't it in red or something or blue or some other color? It's new, isn't it?
Yeah, it in the translation, in working with legal counsel, and yeah, you're right. It should be red from previously.
So, I mean, it looks great. I just think that for each of the other directors, they need to know if they're adopting an updated policy, they need to know what was updated.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Good point.
So I move we accept it pending, or not accept it, assuming, how do you say it?
A highlighted change.
With the understanding that the highlighted stuff is put in.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Second. Any other comments? There being none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next we have BOD 15, conflict of interest.
Okay, and this was brought to last month's board or committee meeting and was tabled to make additional change. And the change is on page 41, the first paragraph. There was discussion about whether there was a perceived conflict and how that should be handled. So we've added the language in the third to the last line, essentially saying, let's just read that sentence. So if a board member or officer becomes aware of an actual or potential conflict of interest, they shall promptly disclose the conflict or potential conflict to the board president and or the district CEO and seek legal counsel's advice if a perceived conflict may be present. Everything else remains unchanged from the prior meeting.
And we add the chief of community engagement. Like we did last time.
Yeah, and seek legal counsel's advice if perceived conflict may be present.
Right.
What was added.
Right, but on the next couple pages, there's some more red, but that was there last time.
Correct. Yeah, so all the rest was okay, since we added that additional language on page 41.
Okay, I move we accept it as amended.
Okay, I'll second. Any other comments? There being none, all those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Next, we have the financial operations, finance 01.
Okay, so we do have a couple of finance policies. There's no language recommended changes, so these are just reviewed with updates to the committee and board approval dates.
So I move that we accept finance policy number one and finance policy number four as updated.
Okay, I'll second. Any other comments? There being none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next, we have number six policy, Ophthalmos medical policy for leasing.
Okay, so the next two relate to the Las Palmas Medical Plaza and leasing issues that we have there. So the first one relates to if we have available space that we need to give, or we should give first consideration to Desert Regional. And this was put in place way back when Desert Regional was looking to take over a significant amount of the space. So we haven't really had to use it because Desert Regional has had more than what they can really utilize there. They've actually had some suites that have been vacant for long periods of time. So this policy was just updated on page 55, just to add some language that says the district will seek board approval to execute a lease with qualified tenants per policy LPMP02, and that's the policy that we're going to review next.
I move we accept LPMP01 as updated.
And I will second that. Any other comments? There being none, all those in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Okay, last one, number seven.
And this one relates again to the lease execution policy, essentially saying that the any lease will be brought through just as we do to our F&A committee and then ultimately to the board for approval. No changes.
I move we accept as updated.
I will second that. Any other comments? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so future topics and issues. Is there anything that we should consider having as a topic for future meetings? Director Zendo? While you're thinking, did we ever actually do anything about the process for, a discussion at the last meeting about when an organization reaches out to the CEO and the CEO determines that they do not qualify or they do qualify, that they don't qualify. We're talking about having some kind of process of how we learn how the board learns who was interested and what was the reason that they didn't proceed with an application. Did we have that conversation or did I just dream it?
Well, that would have been, wouldn't that have been under the program committee?
I think we talked about it, and then maybe we did determine that that was something that the program committee had to be involved as well as the board president. But I don't remember if we talked about actually creating a policy for that.
And didn't we may have also talked about under the strategic planning committee, because the whole idea is that it's the CEO that kind of has, after staff, the CEO kind of confirms that whatever the staff feels is not consistent with strategic plan, and the CEO might have to communicate directly with the organization. I don't know that we talked about having a policy other than the fact that the staff needed to be clear on how to handle those situations. But I think it would be good to maybe have some examples of things, because I'm having a little trouble with the abstractness of it.
Yeah, and I think what we had talked about was that we didn't want to have a formal appeal process because it was going to create more problems, but that the CEO could make the decision and just kind of let us know, or at some point, and I can't remember how it was supposed, it was just the board president that was going to be made aware, or through the grants committee or not.
We were talking about the flow chart. Remember that flow chart?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And again, we were talking about the flow chart. I don't remember. It was when the flow chart came from the program committee to the board. I think we asked those questions. Mm-hmm. And I think we asked the staff to articulate what the process would be if there were questions or appeals or whatever on some of those errors. I don't think we asked for a formal policy, but I think we asked the staff to clarify how they would handle certain for instances.
Okay, so we don't need a policy then, it's just a procedure?
Yes, the policy is illustrated by the flowchart. Mm-hmm. And what we explained was that every proposal that we would receive, if it was under high priority or medium priority or low priority, if they were clearly connected with our strategic plan, that we would present it to the program committee with recommendations. When there is a proposal that it's not aligned with a strategic plan, and I don't recall exactly what example we used, but it was something that it's not related to primary care access or mental health or poverty or homelessness or the environment, that those proposals would be declined, and that the program committee would be informed of that declination. I think that what was a little sticky was the issue of someone submitting a proposal that would request a lot of money for something that was considered low priority or intermediate, medium priority. We want to have the program committee and the board making a policy decision about how much funding a proposal like that would receive. Therefore, the proposal would be brought to the program committee with a recommendation whether to approve the full amount or have further discussion or reduce the amount of the funding that was requested. But it would be ultimately a policy decision that the board would make when the situation was in a gray zone and not clearly defined as black and white. And I think clearly defined as black and white would be something that it's clearly aligned with a very high priority in the strategic plan, and something that would be clearly not aligned with any of the strategic goals of the strategic plan, and that from an organizational perspective, we would see clearly that it had no alignment with anything that we do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have this vague recollection of some confusion about some of the arrows, but I don't remember exactly what the question was. Maybe staff could look at the minutes from when that chart was done, and maybe you could just clarify it. I mean, talk to Letty and see if it answers her question.
Yeah, I can't remember. We did agree on something at the end. So, yeah, I'm comfortable just if you can just refresh my memory or put me in the right direction, I'll be happy to look at it.
I can't. I was actually looking back trying to find that chart. What meeting was that? Was it a board meeting?
January.
Chris and I were saying, I was trying to bring it up now. I think it was the November.
It was the January strategic planning.
It was strategic planning?
With the flow chart, wasn't it?
That's right.
It was at the previous committee meeting of the policies committee.
We
approved a revision of the grants policy.
Oh, okay. Well, let me.
That's right.
Oh, so here it is. Packet.
So if you notice what's on the screen are the, it was the January Strategic Planning Committee. And one item down here at the bottom says a discussion ensued regarding the balance of goals number 4 and 7 and whether a process should be determined in the future on how the board will plan to address any funding requests related to the moderate and low priority ratings of goals 5 through 7. And I, if I'm not mistaken, is that what you're referring to, Letty?
Yeah, the next paragraph where it says that we direct the staff to focus on 1, 2, and 3 and to develop a process document related to requests and or ideas that fall outside the high priority goals. So it was just a process. It wasn't really on this, but that was what I was thinking of, yeah. I mean, there was something that we had directed for something, follow-up information, but
and staff.
So I believe that the issue was clarified when we approved the grant making policy, because in the grant making policy, we included process, which is in the flow chart,
mm-hmm.
that gives a pathway for approval or not to a proposal that it's align or not with the strategic plan, regardless of whether the proposal is aligned with a high priority, moderate priority, or low priority. That's why the high priorities are very easy, but the moderate and the low priorities are more difficult. And that's why we said that should be a policy decision or a policy recommendation that will come from the program committee and should be discussed and approved or disapproved by the full board.
Andrea, can you put up the flow chart?
That's what I'm trying to find. I can't recall
it's on the last page of the policy board and staff communication, February 10th, last okay. page.
At the policies
committee. Did I know it was? Go ahead, Chris.
It was at the policies committee last month.
Thank you. I didn't know it was that program, but I couldn't recall if it was also at the policies. Hold on.
So when it gets up, I'm having sort of a recollection, and I want to sort of wait till it comes up.
So last month, February policies packet. Okay. And so we said it was the last page, so 49.
Page 49.
There we go.
So this is what I think I remember, and I don't think it's much different than what Conrado just said, but under the on the second column where it says internal review, the second box, when a moderate priority goal is submitted to the grant portal, there's an internal review, and it says the grants team reviews the application and can send out a letter of declination if it doesn't fit. I think I or somebody else said, well, does anybody else besides the grant team look at that, or is the program committee informed? That's what it was. Is the program committee informed that there was a submission, it didn't meet the criteria, and the grants team decided to decline it? So I think I asked the program committee, were they informed about it in case they thought, well, gee, maybe, I don't know that we agree with that. So Conrado, is that your memory?
Yes, yes. And the answer to that is yes. When something is declined, it's presented with a recommendation for declination to the program committee. So the program committee may disagree with what the staff is saying, and well, we will get to that conundrum when we get there. But I think that the challenge we had and why we presented the policy the way that it was presented was the issue of moderate and low priorities. And I believe that the staff should not make policy decisions. It should make programmatic decisions and should present to the program committee for them to then formulate what policy recommendation they want to make in terms of amount of funding for how we prioritize something that is not a high priority, but it's presented as a proposal before before the district.
Conrado, I don't think that's the issue, but if you look in the, and you can't see it because you're in the car, but if you look on the next column to the right, where it says DHCD board meeting, and it says the board meets, and then if they decide, they can send a declination, a decline letter. Maybe if under internal review in the second column, there it should be either an asterisk or something that says, and this will be reviewed by the program committee. I mean, you just said it is reviewed by the program committee before it's declined, correct?
So are we changing a policy that we already approved at the last meeting today?
No, no, we're not. Agenda? We're not changing anything. It's just, I think a couple of board members, if I remember correctly, wondered whether the program committee got a chance to review the staff's decision to decline. And your answer was yes. They do, the program committee.
Yes, and the answer continues to be yes. Every proposal that it's evaluated by the staff is presented with either a declination or a support from the staff, and that's presented to the program committee.
Okay, I guess the suggestion was made, maybe that just needs to be clear in the flow chart. But Letty, what do you think?
Yeah, it's not clearly stated. I think that the way they do it is the way we want it to be, and we all agreed up to that, but it's just not clearly stated on there. And even though this was approved last month, I think it should be clearly stated.
I think we're not changing the policy at all. We're just clarifying. We're suggesting something be put in to clarify what you're actually doing, which we agree with.
Okay.
And I guess I'll leave it to the grants team staff to decide if they want to make a little footnote to say what they're actually doing.
Okay, and it's not a big priority, I think, for us to redo this right now. I think just like a notation would be sufficient. I don't think we're changing the policy at all. I don't think it has to go back to the board. Yeah. Okay, so we'll leave it at that. If there's nothing else, sorry, I unearthed.
There is something I thought I want to talk about maybe we should put on the agenda or either from this committee or suggest an off-site discussion. And that's, you know, let me just look, do we have any public on? We do have, the public is Conrado, right?
That's correct, no other public members are
okay, ready. So, when we get
these meetings are recorded.
Okay, but I'm going to talk in general. When the board members are forwarded a letter from the secretary that sent from a constituent that has a bunch of incorrect things in it. I know that the policy is the CEO discusses it with the CEO of the hospital, and either the CEO of the hospital or the CEO of the district responds. That's clear. My only question is, we've now have board members kind of left out of the loop who may not understand what misinformation might be in something like that. And my question is, what's the best way to educate board members when there is misinformation, when we're not going to talk about it? I think I'm pretty clear, but.
Well, if I may recommend, Director Sandel, once we get a response from the hospital, I'm sure that the response we will receive from the CEO at DESA Regional is going to outline the inaccuracies of some of the statements or accusations that have been made. Therefore, that information will be shared with our board members so that they can.
Okay, so are you going to send a copy of the hospital CEO's response to the board members?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Perfect. That was my question. Again, I was worried that the answers to those charges wouldn't necessarily get back to the board members, but as long as it's going to get back to the board members, I think that's fine. Thank you.
Yes. You're welcome.
Chris?
But before we adjourn, I just wanted to go back to the bylaws where we were talking about the red line. If we could go back to page 20, sorry, 25, that this is the red line version that has all of the red lines that you were talking about, Director Sandel. So if we go down to page,
are you talking
33, 34 has all the red lines that I believe that you were referring to. So breaking out the secretary there, and then the next page, 34, shows.
No, that wasn't the one. And I was questioning. It was the one, now I don't remember. It was the one that there was we saw a blank sheet with no red in it. And
well, that was the clean version of the bylaws that you were looking at, I believe.
So in the packet, just for clarification to the committee, the clean version is first followed by the red line version.
And maybe going forward, maybe we'll do the red line first, and then you see that first, and then the clean is following that.
Are you sure this was the one I was talking about? I just don't remember.
Yeah, because you were specifically talking about, you know, the secretary and vice president being split out and why those weren't showing as red line.
No, that wasn't. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Whatever.
What was this section here? 7.3.
Anyway, the red line version is there beginning on page 25.
Okay.
Okay, there's no other topics for future meetings, then I'm going to adjourn the meeting at 3:35. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.